Ultimately, the will of God is that all men come to repentance. It is the will of God. It's not his will that any man perish, but that everyone comes to repentance. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe it's the will of God that men be saved. And that's why that he sends forth those to preach the gospel in a lot of places, sometimes dangerous places, to preach the gospel around the world. And they carry the gospel because men are lost without the gospel. They're lost without the gospel. Hard for us to imagine people not knowing about the Lord, because we in America, even though America has become kind of post-Christian and pretty just so much ungodliness in our nation right now, but still there is a consciousness of God. There's an awareness of God. You remember when 9/11 took place and how that they put pictures up of all the members of Congress on the steps of the Capitol in Washington, D.C., and they were praying and they were singing God Bless America. It's not been that long ago, and it certainly wasn't politically correct to do all those things, but let me tell you, desperate hours cause people to become desperately in need of God. And I believe that's the season that we are in right now and moving into this season. Let's look in Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3 is the account of the introduction of John's ministry, John the Baptist's ministry. When he stepped on the scene, it had been 400 years since there had been a prophet. 400 years of silence. Can you imagine it? No word from the Lord for 400 years. Now, we have the scripture, but even they had limited scripture available to them. They did have some of the prophets and some of the Old Testament writings, but it was limited what they had. But there was that season was called 400 years of silence from the end of the book of Malachi all the way to the book of Matthew, to the Gospels. And John the Baptist stepped on the scene, and he was a prophet of God to speak to that generation. One of the things that he said, that he was to be, he'd been prophesied by Isaiah that he was going to be this voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. That was John's primary purpose. He was preparing the way for the Lord to come. And he was preaching repentance to that generation because they were so religious and so caught up in their religious ideas, but they were so far from God. It's possible to be religious, but to be a long way from God. And that's the condition that the Jewish nation was in. And he came to prepare the way of the Lord. Verse number 5, it says, every valley shall be filled. This, of course, is taken from the book of Isaiah as well. Every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. So when Jesus was to step on the scene, John was saying, every low place is going to be brought up. Every high place is going to be brought down. Every crooked place is going to be straightened out. This was going to be the ministry of the Messiah, what he was going to accomplish. He was going to fix all the shortcomings and the sins and the failures of that nation. He was going to fix it all. Jesus was going to provide the hope and the solution for that generation. Skip on down to verse 13. And as the people were in expectation, and all men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat into his garner, but the chaff he will burn with fire unquenchable. My, what an amazing statement that he is making concerning the ministry of Jesus and what Jesus was going to accomplish. Notice there in that verse, first verse there that I read in verse 15, all related to John's ministry, as the people were in expectation, as the people were in expectation. I believe the reason why that they were going to see all these wonderful things accomplished in the ministry of Jesus is because all of those years of longing, all of those years of silence, and their desire was so strong that when they listened to John, they listened to him with great expectation. Amen. They believed that something was going to happen and that the Lord, the Messiah, was going to step on the scene. Amen. Praise God. Can you imagine 400 years never hearing from God? 400 years of silence, 400 years, no prophet, and no scripture, and all they had was their ceremony, their rituals, their sacrifices, but it had become just a formality to them for the most part. There were a few maybe that were still in touch and still reaching for the Lord, but their hearts were filled with this expectation. And I believe that before we ever experience the blessing of God and the Lord working in our lives and working among us, is we have to believe that it's going to happen. There has to be an expectation that God is going to work, that God is going to speak in our lives. When we pray, we have to have the expectation that God hears and answers prayer, and he's promised that he is going to answer prayer. See, this was the end of a long period of silence, and John even said the axe was being laid to the root. This is the end. He was dealing with their sin. When you read that chapter, he was dealing with their sin, with their hypocrisy, and their all of their failures. And he said, every tree is going to be cast in the fire. He told the publicans, take no more than the law allows, because the publicans were tax collectors who took more than they should have taken. They had the power and the authority of the Roman government to be behind them, and so they would just take advantage of people. And so they were publicans and sinners. They were looked upon as the lowest of the low because they had deceived them and taken advantage of them. And John deals with the sin of the publicans, and he deals with soldiers who would abuse people because they were Roman soldiers and they had authority, and they would abuse people because and take advantage of people because of their authority. John dealt with that, and he told them, "Repent, repent, bring forth fruit of repentance, and this was all signaling that things were getting ready to change. Yes. That the old was going to be gone, and all those years of silence were gone, and now Jesus was stepping on the scene. And not only was Jesus going to be on the scene as far as his earthly ministry, but when he went away, he was going to send the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, and he was going to come into the world, and he was going to speak, and he was going to move, and he was going to accomplish, and the church was going to be born. All of this was getting ready to happen, and John was the forerunner of it. And it all happened because the people had a great deal of expectation. Amen. Sad to say, we pray and we don't expect that anything is going to change. We don't believe that God can do miracles like he has done in the past. But we need to understand that God works when there's this atmosphere of faith and expectation, when we believe that God is going to answer our prayers and he's going to work, he's going to move. We're in a season right now when there's a lot of people, even people that you're connected with, their hearts are troubled. They're in turmoil because they are concerned. They're concerned about what is happening in our world. I know it's thousands of miles away, but we are being indirectly affected by what's happening around the world. And as things continue to escalate over there, you can be sure that we're going to feel it here in the United States of America. And we are not exempt. We are not exempt from the fact that the possibility that right here in our own country that we could face some serious, serious times and even persecution and all kinds of things that could happen that we could never, ever even dream of or imagine. We couldn't have dreamed of it 2 years ago, could we? When they stepped up and they announced all the things that were getting ready to happen, the changes that were coming, and no one could have ever have predicted it. We didn't know it was going to happen because we don't know the future. But a lot of people around us that you're neighbors with, or you work with them or go to school with them, or maybe they're your family member right now, that it's in their thoughts, it's in their heart. I wonder what's next. I wonder what could happen next. And all of these things are happening to set up a new season, a new opportunity for us to share the gospel with people that desperately need the Lord. Amen. I do believe that God will speak if we expect him to speak. I believe he will save if we expect him to save. I believe that he heals if we expect healing. Amen. I believe he performs miracles if we expect that he's going to do it. I believe that God can deliver whosoever will. God can deliver people no matter what the bondage is in their life, if it's drugs or alcohol or fear or worry or whatever burden that Satan has laid upon the hearts of people. And they're in this spiritual struggle that they're dealing with in their life. But if we have an expectation, if we believe that God is going to work, and I'm not talking about Norman Vincent Peale mind over matter. I'm just talking about believing what the Bible says and have an expectation that God is going to do, and understand that God has worked and he's moved. And when seasons change, I'm talking about spiritual seasons, not so much, you know, the spring season, but when spiritual seasons change, then we need to understand it usually is an opportunity for God to do some wonderful and mighty things. Amen. And that's where we are right now. And we need to have an expectation that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And there's no person too hard for the Lord. Amen. I have loved ones that are hardened and resistant and not interested in the things of the Lord, but I do know that God can get to their hearts. God can penetrate their heart. God can convict them and make them desire to know God. You've got relatives like that. You have people you're concerned about that are unsaved, that are just like that. They're far, far from the Lord, and they seem so disinterested in the things of the Lord, but God can reach them. Do you expect that he will? When you pray for them, when you reach out to them, when you minister to them, when you serve them, when you love them, do you expect that it's going to make an impact upon them and that they're going to open their heart to the Lord? I know most of you have heard of Nikki Cruz. Nikki Cruz was saved under the ministry of David Wilkerson in 1958 in New York City. Nikki Cruz rather, was raised in Puerto Rico. His mother was a witch. His father, too, this is from his own words, Nikki Cruz's own words. His father, too, was demon-possessed. They would lock him in rooms, take all of his clothes off and lock him in rooms with animals, pigeons, birds, all kinds of situations, just a small little child. They would beat him every day. They beat him so hard that they would knock him unconscious. This was a regular thing. They worshiped the devil. They worshiped Satan in their home. Animal sacrifices. They actually made Nikki Cruz drink blood. You talk about a hard life. You talk about a hardened soul. Someone that was so filled with bitterness and anger. And at 19 years old, he went to New York City. He became a part of a gang and then very soon became the leader of one of the most violent gangs in the city of New York City. And it was on those streets that he heard this little skinny preacher by the name of David Wilkerson in 1958 that God had sent him there. You've heard the story. And how that the Lord dealt with his heart to go there and to reach out to those, the gangs and the drug addicts of New York City. So he went, he was preaching on the street corners of New York City. And that's where Nikki Cruz heard him preach on the street corner. Now this is this hardened young man who had been abused and mistreated all of his life, brought up in a home full of devil worship and animal sacrifices and all the things. He says that a psychologist that he visited said to him, "You are unredeemable. You're unredeemable. There's no hope for you. You have a darkened soul full of anger and bitterness." And he said, "There's no hope for you." So that was the only two people that I talked to about my condition. And the other one was a man by the name of David Wilkerson. That he talked to him. And David Wilkerson preached on the street corner and said, "God has the power to change your life." He said, "It made me so angry that I spit on him and I slapped him and I hit him." And David Wilkerson said, "If you cut me into 1,000 pieces," because Wilkerson or Nikki Cruz pulled his knife on him and he said, "You can cut me into 1,000 pieces." This was his famous statement that he made that has been quoted over and over again. He said, "You can cut me into 1,000 pieces, but every one of those 1,000 pieces will still love you." And that made Nikki Cruz so angry that he went home and he couldn't sleep. And for 2 weeks, he couldn't sleep because he couldn't imagine that someone would love him enough to reach out to him and show compassion to him. After 2 weeks, those words so penetrated his dark soul, and that the psychologist said was unredeemable. But the words of the gospel, the words of the message of Jesus, had so penetrated his heart that he came back in 2 weeks to hear Wilkerson on the street corner once again. And that day it started. Nikki Cruz began to pray. Here's what he said. He said, "I just laid in the arms of Jesus. I let Jesus hold me." And he was forgiven. He said, "Today, I am the happiest man in the world because he's now 83 years old. And all of these years, 60 years later, he's still sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ." He said, "I've preached to thousands around the world all of these years." He said, "But let me tell you, the most wonderful experience that I ever had was I won my mother and my father to the Lord." Amen. That mother that he said was a witch, that father that he said was possessed of the devil, that abused him and beat him, but he took the gospel to his parents and they were saved. And he's preached to thousands and thousands of people and still is at age 83, still preaching the gospel. Praise God. I went through all that. I've read the story of Nikki Cruz before, but I was just thinking about how that the Lord can transform the most untransformable person. how that he can touch the dark souls that are so affected by the world and by what's going on in our world right now. I want you to know that if you have a burden for the lost, if you're concerned, if you love those that are unsaved and need Jesus, the Lord can use you. If you'll be sensitive to the Lord and obey the voice of the Lord can use you to be a voice to speak to the hearts of these that are so much in need of a Savior. Hallelujah. We need to expect that God is going to direct our steps, that he's going to lead us to the lost. We need to expect that he's going to save to the uttermost. We need to expect that he's going to perform miracles, that he's going to deliver people from their bondages and their burdens and all of the things that Satan is using against them. We need to have an expectation that God is going to move. I remember reading Jack Hiles in the Chicago area at his church, and how he preached week after week after week, and every week they would have souls saved and souls saved week after week after week in his ministry. But one Sunday he preached and no one came forward. And he told his wife, go on home. I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. He went back to his office and he laid on the floor and he cried and begged God to save someone that night. And he went and he preached, and there were souls saved that night. Amen. We need to have an expectation that the Lord can do that. That he can reach the unreachable. That he can change the hearts of people. There's a lot of people that they don't even know they need the Lord. They don't even recognize their need. But God, by his Spirit, can awaken them to their need. This is a new season. Just like the season of John the Baptist, when he stepped on the scene and began preaching repentance and then introduced the ministry of Jesus, which was salvation and the hope of the world, and then the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ was born, and from that then lives are changed. And today you're a Christian. If you're saved today, it's because of the ministry of the church. Because somebody prayed for you. Because someone had a compassion and a concern for you. And they cared enough about you to invest in your life. And to share the gospel with you. And you're serving the Lord today because of the mercy of God. And someone that the Lord used to influence you. But you're going to have to be that person. You're going to have to be that vessel. For people that are right here in this world. Right here within our own reach, that so desperately need the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 126. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy law. That's what the world has done. But Lord, it's time for you to work. And we need to have an expectation that he is going to do just that. Acts chapter 3. Is the story of the lame man who's lame from his mother's womb, who was carried daily to the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. He was placed there to ask alms. That was his life. That was all that he had to look forward to. Couldn't walk there. He had to be carried there. And there he asked for just a little bit at the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now he probably was expecting to get a little bit of money. A little bit of money. That was his expectation. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee." I don't have money, but you don't need money. You need an eternal answer. You need a transformation. You need to know God. You need to know the God that can touch you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Praise God. That man's life was changed that day. He was expecting something, but he got something so much greater because of the power of the gospel that was provided to him that day. Amen. Now God is moving. I don't know how all you feel about all of this right now, but I have this stirring that's going on in my spirit and in my heart. I do believe with all of my heart that God is doing some things. He's speaking to a lot of people. He is convicting people. The Spirit of God is hovering over your loved ones and your family and your friends, and he's convicting them and stirring them. You may not see the evidence of it, but it's happening because that's the season that we're in right now. All of these horrible things happening all around the world and over the last 2 years are all setting this up for a new season, and we need to have an expectation that God is going to move. Amen. So when we come to church on Wednesday night, Sunday night, when we come to the house of the Lord, that we come with an expectation. We believe that God is going to do some things, that God is going to speak to us. He's going to work in our lives. He's going to do something mighty, supernatural, miraculous in our behalf. He's going to save people that desperately need to be saved. Praise God. Hallelujah. Brother Michael Bennett's not here tonight, but the young man that prayed the other night, he had, when he hired him on ABC Automotive, he's the human resources guy there. And he told me, everyone that comes through and he hires them, he talks to them about the Lord and asks them if they have a church, and then he invites them to church. And it had been several weeks before that young man that came and prayed that he'd invited him. And so when he showed up some weeks later, he was kind of surprised, but he prayed. Brother Michael told me yesterday that young man is working so much overtime that he can't be here for a week or two, but he's telling Michael, I'm coming back. He says, has just a glow on his face, a smile on his face, that the Lord has really done something for him. Then Michael sent me a text last night and said, I'm having revival at my job. And he told me about another man that the Lord was doing something in their family, and that they had said, we're going to be at your church next week. Praise God. Amen. If all of us had an expectation that God was going to use us to talk to our friends and our loved ones and to pray for them and to allow the Lord to use us, and we had an expectation that he was going to do it. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Father, thank you that you can stir our hearts with an expectation, Lord, that you're at work. We don't know all the ways that you're going to work. We just believe that you are. We have that assurance in our hearts tonight. Let us pray, Lord, for everybody that's here tonight. Lord, do a work in us. Do a work in us by your Spirit. Stir us up to see the possibilities. Lord, whenever we open our hearts to you and to your will and your purpose in our lives. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, praise God.